Good evening, everyone. Turn your songbooks to page number 23. There's power in the blood. Let's all stand. You're going to sing the first and the fourth verses. First and fourth verses of page 23.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil the victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
On the fourth verse.
Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Well, amen. There certainly is power in the blood of the Lamb. And experiencing that power, of course, happens first at salvation. But boy, it doesn't have to stop there. You can see that power of God's love and through His blood, through soul winning. And that's what this meeting is for. It's to get you encouraged about winning the lost. And praise the Lord. Appreciate with the choral coming out, and it's been a lot last night. For those of you that weren't here, I don't know if we got a clear recording or not. Brother Gowdy, it was first time in the sound room with this new system, so who knows what we got. But if he did get it, it's well worth getting. And the message, a tremendous encouragement, tremendous blessing, and it'll help you. If you missed it, you missed a good message, and I'm sure tonight's will be equally as well. And we're going to take up an offering now. We're going to pray, and we're going to ask God to open up the services as well at the same time. So, Brother Feeman, if you would please pray and ask God to bless both the offering and the services tonight.
Father, dear, we thank you, Lord, for the word that was preached last night. And, Lord, we thank you that there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, you might be with this offering, meet the needs. And, Lord, if you think the rest of the service tonight, Lord, may everything be done to glorify you. Turn your songbooks to page number 63. What a day that will be. Let's all stand, page number 63, and we'll sing the first and last verses, page number 63.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day, that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand, He leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be.
Seated, just a few announcements. Don't forget the normal times of our services. Of course, tomorrow evening we'll have soul winning and visitation here at 6:30. So come on out and be a part of that. That'll be a blessing to you. If you've never gone out, we'll team you up with somebody who has, and you can be what's called a silent partner, and you can just pray for them as they talk at the doors and hand out tracts and just let people know about the good news. And the good news is Jesus Christ and what He's done on the cross, man. That's the greatest news there ever is. And also, don't forget Sunday school at 10 o'clock, and of course, morning service at 11, evening service at 6, and it'll be a blessing to you if you can get people to come out, and especially your new converts, get them here in the morning, and it'll be a blessing to them to come to Sunday school, because that's where you learn the Bible, and it'll do a great, it'll go farther for them to know the Bible. The best thing you can possibly ever give somebody is knowledge from God, some things about the Lord. If you want to be a blessing to somebody else, then put them in a position where God can bless them. And, boy, there's nothing better than that, the blessings of God. So, anyway, those are all the announcements. It's a blessing to have Brother Coral here. He also has, he'll tell you about his book table. He's got a lot of books back there. And but if you don't have money with you right now and you would like to pick out some books, just pick them out and give them to his daughter, and she'll make a pile out of them. And what we'll do is we'll buy them for the bookstore, and then when you do have the money, you can buy them from the bookstore. And if you forget, we'll hound you. But no, we're going to get some anyway for the bookstore, and we're going to put some of the music in the bookstore. And I'd encourage you to avail yourself. Some of you have asked me, you know, well, what's this music sound like? Well, I don't have a clue. I don't have it either. So, but what we do is when we do get some for the bookstore, we'll play it before the services so you can have an idea what it is. And that way you can understand what it is. And if you have some questions then, but it's just, you know, before the 5 minutes before the service, we just can't do something like that. But anyway, we'll have it in the bookstore. And I believe he's reachable. So if we need to get some more, we can probably get a hold of him. And he'll probably send us more. So anyway, that'll be a blessing. And he also has some subscriptions to his newspapers. It's a great idea to use it for lost people. When he talks about it, think about that. I want you to think about that right now. Is there anybody that you could send this newspaper to? Now, he promised me that he wouldn't be spitting on anybody in that newspaper like a lot of the other ones have done. And he said, you won't find it in there. So I said, okay, well, good, we'll promote that. And we can. That'll be a good thing to do, because nothing is worse than having some lost person get a newspaper and having them bash another Christian and have them think, well, this is what Christianity is about. And no, it's not. It hasn't got nothing to do with the Christianity I got, and I can't find it anywhere in here. There's a big difference between what the Bible tells us to do and what some are doing out there. So I said, well, praise the Lord. That's a good thing, so we'll do that. And anyway, those are all the announcements. Brother Feeman, let's come and sing another song, and then we'll have this special and turn it over.
Amen. So I'll stand in front of the book, He Paid a Debt.
He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash those sins away. I now can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, the whole day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never. He paid the debt on Calvary. He saved my soul and He set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. I now can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. The whole day long, Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. One day He's coming back for me to live with Him eternally. Won't that be glory to see Him on that day? I then will sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, the whole day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Amen.
Amen. That's a blessing. You can be seated. And at this time, we're going to have a trio come, and they're going to sing a special. And then immediately after that special, Brother Coral, you come and give us what God's got for you.
Tell you about a couple of things on the table, and if I could I get an usher or two to grab a stack of those envelopes, just pass them down the rows. Don't worry about getting them back in. You don't have to take one if you don't want to, but if you don't, I'll never speak to you again. But seriously, I hope you take an envelope and you can use it. You can actually get two subscriptions with one envelope. There are two places on the front there. If you'd like to send one to somebody else, like to get it yourself, you can do that. It's $10 a piece. And that would give you two 12-month subscriptions, one each month. So if you take advantage of that, I'll be at the table, of course, so my daughter. You can turn those in back there tonight if you'd like to subscribe. And you can fill it out. If you write a check, write it to Revival Fires. And we do take out-of-state cash. And so I said that to a girl one time, and I walked into the store, and I said, "Ma'am," I said, "do you take out-of-state cash?" She said, "I don't know." She said, "Let me check with the manager." I said, "No, no." Finally, it dawned on her. Amen. Hey, but at any rate, I hope you take a look at some of the soul-winning things back there. Of course, the preacher is excited about the kicking the soul-winning back off, and rightly so. I hope you are, and it looks like you are from the crowds last night tonight. Realize it's regular prayer meeting night. But I hope you take a look at some things. This book on the biblical philosophy of soul-winning, it has some things in there I think will challenge your heart, but I think it has some things in there really encourage you. You know, there's a chapter in here called Eight Kinds of People You Meet Out Soul-Winning. You know, if you can figure out what you have in front of you, you can probably figure out what to do with them. Now, what I mean by that is this, and I don't have time to give you that Bible study, but there are some folks that are so open, anybody could win them. On the other hand, there are some folks so closed, they wouldn't listen to Jesus if he showed up in person. They're just not interested. Then, of course, there's a crowd out there that you're never going to get them saved until you get them to church. They're just not going to get saved to know. Then there's another crowd that you're never going to get to church until you get them saved. Amen. And there are eight different categories. They give you an idea where I'm headed. There are all kinds of good Bible principles like that in the book that will help you to calculate, to determine whether or not you have a prospect and what direction to go with this person. And so there's just some good principles in there, what I call the Luke 7 principle that I think I'll touch on tonight in the middle of the message I'm going to give you. Really deals with being thorough on the bad news. You know, it's not hard to get people saved, but you do have to get them lost first. When I say it's not hard to get them saved, you do have to start with a prospect. The hardest work in soul winning is finding a prospect, knocking on enough doors to find somebody who's willing to hear what you have to say. Soul winning is not arm twisting, it is prospect hunting. And if you can find a prospect, someone that is willing to hear what you have to say, your chances of leading them to Christ is very good if you will be thorough in your presentation. And I'll get into some of that a little bit later. And then this soul winning binder, we now have, we found out, Preacher and I found out today talking, that we have a mutual friend in India, a fellow named Sudhir. I sent Sudhir, I don't know how many of these, hundreds of them through the years, and we have it in the Telugu language that he uses. We also have it in Swahili. We sent a bunch of them to Africa, and we have it in English and French and Spanish and Swahili and Telugu and Arabic. We now have it in Arabic. And we also have it in German. We're right now working on translating it. I said all that simply to say that it's being used all over the world with effect. I mean, they're getting people saved with it, and it's not the only way to win a soul. But I'm going to tell you that it's a very thorough presentation, well illustrated. It'll help you to keep folks' attention. It'll help you to be disciplined and be as thorough. You know, what we do in some cases is the better the prospect, the quicker we get to the solution and the less time we spend on the problem. And some of the people that are the very best prospects, we're in such a hurry to get to the prayer, we don't really do them justice in the matter of being thorough on the bad news. And this will help you to be faithful to do that if you'll just stay by it. The beauty of it is that if you're a brand new Christian tonight, you could take this and tomorrow and be a very effective soul winner if you'd be prayed up, find a prospect, and just read what's on each page. Without having anything memorized, you could do a very thorough job at presenting the gospel. And if you're already a well-versed soul winner, just be a great tool in your hands. I hope you take a look at that. And it's been out a long time, and we get wonderful reports back from the field. We just sent 300 of those to India and had a great report come back right away. What we did is equip 300 soul winners. And it really is making a difference. And then this prayer journal is a tremendous tool that the Lord's using just to keep folks organized. Joe Grimaldi put this together. We published it for him and put it in the Revival Fires line. But it's just a good tool. You know, I'll tell you this. If you trust your memory, you will not be a good intercessor. I don't mean you won't pray. You may pray. But if you don't watch it, you'll forget more people than you remember, especially if you get a very long list. Now, you'll be able to remember your family and a handful of people consistently, but I'm going to tell you, if you're going to pray for hundreds and hundreds of people that need your prayers, and you leave that to chance, they'll get skipped over as frequently or more frequently than they get remembered. And so hope you take a look at that. It'll be a great help to you in keeping your people on the list and reminding yourself who you need to be praying for. Then this is a tool that we use primarily with children and have children use, just a helpful tool for them to lead others to Christ. So hope you take a look at the things, those package deals that I mentioned last night. You can still get 7 books for $25, 15 books for $50, and that's anything on the front and center row in book form. One book counts, one book. The other items on the back row can be purchased in the package. They just count as more than one book when you're adding them up in the package deal. If you have any question about that, see me. I'll help you with it. My daughter understands that. She can help you with it. And so take a little bit of time to look at that. I believe you'll be very pleased with the music. It's the right kind of music. And better than that, it's good content of the songs. In other words, there's a message to it. I joke with everybody about my wife, tell everybody my wife's a disappointed preacher. Preacher born in a woman's body says she's not allowed to preach. So what she does is write sermons and sing them. Amen? But they really are powerful messages in song that'll be a blessing to you and speak to your heart. And I hope you take a look at those things back there. They're designed to be helped. A lot of preaching in the preaching sets over here. They're very reasonably priced as well. So those things back there, I'm not going to take any more time with it, but if you have a question, see me, and if you can, please try to turn those envelopes in. I'd encourage you to get the paper yourself, send it to somebody else who's going to have the plan of salvation in it every month. That's not all it has, but that's there every month. They're going to get the gospel every month, and we're getting the little coupons clipped out of the paper asking for follow-up material because somebody read the paper, got saved, and they at the end of the plan of salvation, we tell them, if you'd like more information, write us. We'll send you some other material. We get those on a regular basis. That's the result of people like you signing somebody up. We don't just send it to lost people at random, except in my hometown. Everybody in my hometown and two towns around us get the paper every month. I pay for that. We'll make sure they get the gospel. They get it every month. I send those papers to three small towns. Every box holder gets one. And you say, get any response? Yes. You say, good or bad? Yes. Amen. And we're excited about what the Lord's doing with it, and I believe it'll be a blessing. It will be a tool for you to use to help somebody else, and I believe it'll be a help and encouragement to you every month. I believe it'll be like a breath of fresh air coming into your home as you pick it up. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to begin reading in verse 18. I'm going to read down through verse 20. I'm going to look at what we would call the Great Commission here. But I want you to notice the statement Jesus prefaced the commission with, especially in verse 18. And I'm going to talk to you about some things, how to get your converts to church. But you first have to have some of those, and we'll lay some groundwork for that. And then go from there. But I think most everybody does the big things right. You realize I don't care if it's in business or if it's in the ministry or if it's in soul winning. It's usually not the big things that are the problem. It's the little things that will make you or break you. And the people that tend to details and the people that don't leave any stone unturned are the people that are usually the most successful in their field. And soul winning is a ministry, not a field. But those who are meticulous about looking to detail and covering every detail are usually far more successful at accomplishing what they have set out to accomplish for the Lord. And so I'm going to try to give you some very practical things tonight. But look with me at verse 18. And go ahead and stand, stretch your legs. You've been listening to me give announcements for 5 minutes. I don't want you to fall asleep till the middle of the sermon. Amen. I'll keep you awake that long. But in Matthew 28, verse 18, the Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then he said, Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Let's bow our heads and ask God to help us tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to serve you. And I pray you'd help me to be a help tonight. I pray you'd prepare every heart and mind. And I pray that something would be said that would help each person. Please, Holy Ghost of God, would you personally minister to each of us? Would you encourage our hearts? Would you give us each a truth that would just stir us to the depths of our being and help us to be more effective and more excited about what you've given us to do than we've ever been in the past? Please get glory to yourself. Please bind the enemy off this time. We plead the blood of Christ, and we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated, please. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. The Lord Jesus said to them, He came and said unto them, All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Now, I want to say a couple of things about that. And he said, first of all, he prefaced everything else he was going to say about the commission that he gave to you and gave to me by telling us that all power was given to him in heaven and in earth. He said, there is no power that I do not possess. I have power over sin and power over disease and power over nature and power over death, power over the devil, power over sin. He said, there's no power that I do not have. All power means all power. He said, all power is given to me. And then he said this, in heaven and in earth. He said, not only is there no power that I do not possess, there is no place that I cannot exercise that power. I have no limitation. He said, my power is not just for heaven. My power is for heaven and for earth. And then he said this, go ye therefore. Now, anytime you see the word therefore, you always look back to see what it's there for. It's always pointing to a previous statement. And the previous statement was the declaration of His unlimited power and the declaration that He could use it anywhere and everywhere. And He said, in light of the fact that you belong to me, you're doing my bidding, and I have all power. There's no power I do not have. There's no place that I cannot exercise it. He said, in light of that, go ye. Now there's that personal stuff again. That word ye means exactly what it says. It means ye, means you. God's talking, in that verse, He's talking to me. And in that verse, God's talking to you. Not some of you, but all of you, each of you. He said, in light of the power that I have, go ye, therefore, and teach all nations. Now He's giving the commission here. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. He didn't say, wait for all nations to come to you. And the word nations here is the word ethnos that would include all nationalities, not just every continent, but every nationality that you come in contact with, every ethnos, every ethnic group. I'm to get the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. Now, we send missionaries to foreign soil, but in this country we have about every nationality you can imagine. They all need the gospel of Jesus Christ. They all need to hear the message. And you and I need to get it to every one of them that we possibly can. But He tells us that we are to go. And that, again, if you want to check that, that's one of those linear verbs. It just means go and don't stop. It's a go without a stop. I'm just supposed to go and keep on going and keep on going. And He tells me while I go, there are some things that I'm to do. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And, you know, the first thing I'm supposed to teach them is how to get to heaven. The most basic thing they need to learn is the gospel. What Christ did for them and their need of a Savior and the fact that there is only one Savior. And so that's what I'm supposed to teach them. You know, I've seen people go soul winning and argue about everything under the sun, not get the gospel out. Get into a home and argue about politics and argue about theology and argue about standards and argue about drinking and argue about homosexuality. Just getting in a debate. Now, if you're not careful, the devil will sucker you into a debate. And you can win the debate and lose the opportunity to get the gospel out. Now, we need to preach on every one of those subjects, but the truth is, you're not going to be able to communicate with a lost person. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, but the natural man in his natural condition without Christ, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The things you're trying to argue with them about and convince them of are spiritually discerned, and they are dead spiritually. They got to have life before you can even communicate that spiritual truth on the same wavelength they live. You know, You first have to have a prospect, and I'll deal with that in a moment. But he said, teach all nations. I've got to teach them how to be saved. Teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he said, once I teach them that and bring them to a place of decision, then I'm supposed to baptize those that get saved. And he said, I'm not only supposed to baptize them, he said, I am to teach them to observe all things whatsoever he has commanded me. Now, how many things did he tell me I have to do? How many things were listed here? He's number one, go ye. Number two, I'm supposed to teach all nations. Number three, I'm supposed to baptize, and he's talking about saved people. You don't baptize the lost, you baptize those that trust Christ. And we have many biblical illustrations of that in the book of Acts. And then we are to teach them to observe all things. That has to do with making a disciple of them. Paul talked to Timothy, he said, but teach thou faithful men that shall be able to teach others also. The very first element that's necessary, if I'm going to disciple somebody, you cannot disciple the unfaithful. Look, I'm not going to somebody's home to hold them Bible studies if they won't come to church. Because I'm honoring disobedience and I'm honestly wasting time. There is no commitment here. Do I know if they're saved or not? I'm not sure. Maybe they are. And if they are, the Lord will deal with them. But I'm going to tell you that I won't do them any good by helping them to get what they want on their terms. Amen. The Lord Jesus not only died for the individual sinner, the Bible said He died for the church. And in His economy, the church is a big deal. And we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. He wants folks to assemble. And that's one of the things that you and I need to teach people to do after they get saved, the importance of assembling. And when they assemble, they are going to learn Bible doctrine. They are going to learn biblical standards of holiness. They are going to learn how to reproduce after their kind for them to become soul winners as well. But we need to follow through. Now, he gave us four things. The commission we have is not just to go. You say, why are you saying that, preacher? Because if your goal is not proper, the outcome won't be proper. You know, some people have a very limited vision. There are some people that come and go soul winning, and when they show up, they accomplished everything they set out to accomplish when they showed up. Their goal is involvement. But according to the Word of God, involvement is never an end in itself. Involvement is supposed to be a bridge to a goal, not the goal itself. And there are many people that when they show up for soul winning, and they can say, I went, they have already accomplished everything they set out to accomplish because their goal is single. It's just that I went. It's just that I showed up. And then there are some folks that as soon as they get somebody saved, they're contented. They get a profession of faith. They're excited about that. They come away rejoicing. And they fail to follow through and do that convert justice. They don't do everything they can to help them understand their responsibility as a believer and to get them to come. And then he said we need to baptize them. There are some folks emphasize baptism to the point that as soon as somebody gets baptized, that's the end. They don't even worry about it. Now, I'm afraid that what we do is play numbers games sometimes. And all we're worried about is the stuff we can count. Got one, got a baptism. Now, I'm not against counting. God's got a book in the Bible called Numbers. But I'm against that being our sole motivation for what we do. And if it is, you'll spend a lot of time discouraged. Because sometimes the numbers are not there. Jeremiah didn't have the numbers, but he was faithful to God. Noah didn't have the numbers, but he was faithful to God. And the big issue with God is me faithfully doing what I'm supposed to do. He said, therefore, he tells us, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now listen to me, folks. My labor is never in vain in the Lord, even when my labor does not produce what I hoped it would produce. You notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible tells us, in that passage of Scripture talking about the judgment seat of Christ, he said, everyone shall receive his own reward according to his own production, right? No, it says according to his labor. And again, I want to emphasize, I'm not telling you that our labor is not supposed to produce something, but I am telling you that when I faithfully do what God says, my labor was not in vain, even when it did not produce what I hoped it would produce. It's never in vain in the Lord. And I am going to be rewarded according to my labor, not according to the outcome of my labor necessarily. Not according to the product. Now you say, does that mean I shouldn't be worried about... Well, yeah, you ought to have a goal. And your goal ought to be to get people born again. And your goal ought to be to get folks into church and to get them baptized. And your goal ought to be to help them develop and grow in grace so they become like Jesus Christ, so they themselves can become soul winners. Now, you and I, if we're not careful, will depend on our own salesmanship instead of His power. The first thing that He told us was necessary, He said, all power is given to me. Go ye therefore. What's that mean? Because all power is given to me. He said, I will fill you with power if you will yield to me and represent me properly. I'll give you the power to get the job done wherever you go. I'll give you the power. There's no place my power won't work. And there's no power I don't have. And he